Many of you know that this was a very eventful week for our household. We prayed last Sabbath that the Lord would bless basically an examination of my health situation where I was experiencing some chest pain over the last several weeks when I would exercise and work out, and I knew that something wasn't right. And so I had an angiogram scheduled for Tuesday. And when you have a symptom, you don't know what the root cause or the root seriousness of that symptom or symptoms may be. And that's why they have these diagnostic tests, so you can go in and figure out what's going on. Here I'm on the surgery table in the cath lab, and they don't put you under. They give you a little bit of anesthesia, but what little they gave me, I was still very alert and awake. And so they go in there, and they're looking at my heart vessels. And it turned out that my left anterior descending artery was 99% blocked, which means I was a ticking time bomb. Basically, at any moment, could have dropped dead of a heart attack. And I guess if I knew it was that serious, I would have prayed harder before then. But the Lord sustained me in an amazing way. And so after they said, okay, yeah, your artery's blocked, we need to take care of this, there's another physician there that then puts a stent in, and they had a before and an after picture. The before picture showed the artery with kind of plump ends, but then there was this real pencil-thin line where there was this huge blockage. So that was taken at 9:55 in the morning, and then at 10:14 they showed the after picture after the stent was put in of the artery being fully alive and open and flowing with blood and everything. So in a matter of 20 minutes, a piece of metal less than 1 inch long and about 3 millimeters wide basically saved my life. And so, you know, it's an amazing thing. I'm still processing it. You know, what does all this mean? And so part of what you're going to hear in the sermon is me processing it. And so I hope that you'll enjoy what the Lord has put on my heart to share today. But, you know, it's an amazing thing when you go through life. You can look at your outward circumstances and you can say, wow, you know, I'm not in good shape and I've got high blood pressure and I've got these different things and I need to get help. Okay. And we should get help from the medical community as we can. But then there's the other case where you're not really symptomatic and you think everything's fine and you think you're going to live forever, right? Young people, you guys are going to live forever, right? That's what you feel like when you're young. You know, you're just invincible and you're strong and you got all this energy and off you go. But as you get older, as I've heard, not as I've experienced, but as I've heard, you tend to wane as it relates to energy and strength and all that good stuff. But the fact is that every single day, we are in the Lord's hands. We are in the Lord's hands. And we can do whatever we can physically to think that we're okay and in shape and taking care of things, but that doesn't prove anything. That doesn't guarantee anything. And so I'm just standing here today with an enormous amount of gratefulness, thanks. Thank you all for your prayers, for your notes of encouragement, for your texts and everything else. And I just feel like I have a brand new lease on life. I got my arteries all fully open and, you know, it's still hard to put into words all this. So I'm 50 and hopefully I have another 50 to go. But we'll see. We'll see what the Lord wants to do. So I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I want to pick this up in verse 5. This is Paul saying, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. So he says, examine yourselves, and he also says to test yourselves. And so as I experienced what I did this week, in the physical sense, I tested myself and I realized that something wasn't right. And then I had to take some action. Okay? And so in the same way, what God is doing is he's asking us to examine and to test ourselves, to see what is going on within us. And Paul makes this reminder to us. He says, don't you know that you are in Christ Jesus, that he is in you? Okay, who here believes that Jesus Christ is in you?
Amen.
Okay, amen. And so what does that mean then? If Christ is truly in us, what is our life going to look like? It's going to look like him. More and more and more as we go from glory to glory. As we look on the things not which are on the earth, but rather as we look on the things which are above. If Christ is truly in us and alive in us, then what does that mean? What gets manifested in our life? We should see in ourselves, we should see a state of holiness. We should see a state of overcoming. We should see a state of obedience. We should see a state of truth. These things should be characterizing our life, right? And so the natural question is, how often are we examining and testing ourselves to see whether we are in the faith? So in this particular passage, it doesn't give us a time frame to say, you know, do this daily, do this weekly. But there's a command that we ought to test and we ought to examine ourselves. And so I want to spend some time today talking about that, because God is calling us to, in a sense, put ourselves in front of the mirror and to figure out what it is that we are composed of. What do we believe? What do we do? How do we act? What do we say? As to whether, in fact, we are reflecting the love and the reality of Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to Lamentations. Lamentations, the third chapter. Lamentations is a beautiful book. What, Scott, are you saying some books aren't beautiful? No, I'm not saying that. Look here at Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3, and I want to read verses 40 to 41. Here's what Lamentations says. It says, verse 40, Lamentations 3, let us search out and examine our ways. Okay? Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. And what's the implication there? That if we search and analyze our ways, the ways which are not consistent with the Lord, let's turn away from that way of life and then let's walk and turn back to him. And then it says in verse 41, let us lift our hearts and our hands to God in heaven. That we would search out and examine our own ways. And we're actually going to take some time during this sermon to search out and to examine our ways. Because some of our ways are okay, but other of our ways are not. And this is a self-examination, right? Back to 2 Corinthians 13, it says, examine yourselves. You don't get to examine your neighbor during this sermon. Okay, we'll do that later. I'm kidding. But we're going to examine ourselves, our minds and our hearts, to see how, in fact, am I stacking up? Because there's this command that we ought to test and we ought to examine ourselves. Turn over with me to Luke. Luke chapter 12. So, see, we play a role in this examination. It's not just left up to chance or randomness. The incumbency isn't on God alone, but there is some work and effort that we go through in this process of examination. Look at Luke 12, and I want to pick it up in verse 54. Okay, Luke 12 and in verse 54, it says this. Then he also said to the multitudes, this is Jesus, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming. And so it is. And we had some really cool rain this week. Wasn't it wonderful? It was very refreshing. Yes. It's always exciting to get rain. People on the video stream are like, you people are crazy. Verse 55, and when you see the south wind blow, you say, there's going to be hot weather. And there is. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? That same word discern is translated examine or to test or to prove. And so what Jesus is saying is, look, you can look at certain physical things and you can make determinations about them. But he says, but yet you can't discern the time that you're in. Of course, he was talking about the times that the days were wicked. The days are wicked. And he's asking people to repent and to come out of their old ways and to come into the reality and the existence of Jesus. And so he's asking us in Luke 12 here to discern the times in which we live. Now, what times do we live in right now? The end times, tumultuous times. Dark. What was that? Exciting times. Yeah. There's great opportunity. Great opportunity. We see, we still have a lot of freedom in this country, don't we? We have a lot of freedom to live out our faith. And we also have freedom to tell other people about the Lord Jesus. What a blessing that is. But yet knowing that these days are evil, and we hear from Paul, he says that we would redeem the time. That we would redeem the time that we have knowing that these days are evil. So then again, as we go through here, I'm going to ask questions of you and of me and to say, are we discerning the time? Are we redeeming the time that God has given us? Because the fact is, we don't know how many more days we have, do we? We might not make it home from church today. None of us know. None of us know the number of our days. Who does know? God, right? Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. See, that we need to number our days. That we would be taught how to do that. Because we don't know how much time we have left. And the fact is, the closer we get to our earthly death, the fact is we are living in the last days for us. Right? They're the last days. We keep, you know, there's a debate about, well, are we living in the last days? Well, Peter thought he was in the last days in the first century. And here we are. Are we in the last days? Are our lives reflecting a discernment of the times and a redeeming of the time because we know that the days are evil? Turn with me over to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. See, this idea of examining and testing and proving is something that God wants us to seek after and to be involved in. He says in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, or could be translated test, same word, examine, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how do we do that? We know that we're supposed to do it, but how is it that we prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? What does that look like? Well, wouldn't part of it be that we have an intimate relationship with Jesus? That we understand His Word? That we know what's in here and that we know what God loves and what God hates and what He values so that we in turn could value the same things? And as we talked about earlier, that if Christ is in us, I think it was you, Linda, that our life will look like Jesus. Because we're proving what is acceptable and what is His will according to His Word and according to what we receive and hear from Him in prayer. That we're seeking those things out and that we actually want to do this. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Here's another reference to this concept of proving and testing and examining our life. This is in 1 Corinthians 11. And this is in the context of taking of the Lord's Supper, but certainly something either leading up to the Lord's Supper or something that we do as a matter of course. It says here in 1 Corinthians 11:27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner," you know, partaking of the Lord, "will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Because he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner," and the presumption here is that a person who's eating and drinking in an unworthy manner was not properly examining himself, "and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." And notice verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So see, this is another angle, another camera angle to say that when we examine and we test ourselves, what are we really doing? We're judging ourselves to say, is what I'm doing, is what I'm saying, is who I'm being of the Lord, or is it not? And so what we're doing is we're putting our lives, if you will, up on the rack and saying, does this reflect Jesus? And so he's saying here in this phraseology here in verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, if we would judge our thoughts and our actions, our heart, we would not be judged. We would not, in effect, have to come under judgment. Verse 32, "But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." So see, this is a process where we examine, we test, we judge ourselves, and we see whether or not we are measuring up. And where we aren't, what does it say to do? To confess it. And to repent and to turn the other way and to walk a different way. And then go over to 1 Thessalonians 5 with me. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. It says here in verse 21, "Test all things and to hold fast what is good." So how comprehensive is the word all? All means all. It means everything. That we would have a heart and that we would have a way of thinking that is testing everything in our life. Now, if you'll permit me to hop back to the physical analogy of what happened to me this week. See, I had symptoms of chest pain and shortness of breath when I would work out. Okay. So, I say, well, okay, as I test my physicality, I realize that I am coming up short. And so what did I do? I had to examine what that meant. Okay. But I had a choice, didn't I? I had a choice to regard the symptom. Okay, or if in the spiritual sense, I have a choice to look at my life and say, I know that that behavior is not of God. And now I have a choice. I can say, I need to do something about it, or, as we all in this room have been guilty of doing, ignore it and say, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. So we have a choice. And I am incredibly grateful that in this physical example that I made the choice to get looked at, because I had every reason to blow it off. Hey, I'm only 50. I'm healthy. I don't have high blood pressure. I eat well. You know, exercise, yada, yada, yada. I don't need to worry about it. Or in the spiritual sense, we could say, well, you know, I'm doing pretty well. Look at all these other areas. I'm doing fine. And I know the Lord and I'm doing my thing. But yet we harbor certain areas in our life, don't we? And we give provision to the flesh. And we either hope God looks the other way or hope that he doesn't think it's a big deal. But according to 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says that we would test, prove, and examine all things. And that there isn't a part of our life that we keep off the radar and don't want God to come in. And see, sometimes we need some help to do this examination. I, in one sense, was reckless. And this is where I get to preach to the men in particular for a couple of minutes. I don't know when I last had a physical. I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago, but I don't remember. I just think, well, hey, look, I'm doing fine. I'm okay. All right. I'm good. Okay. Once the doctor did an EKG, he saw an abnormality. And he said, we're going to skip the stress test and we're going to go straight to an angiogram because this doesn't look good. Okay. I mean, I can't do an EKG myself, although I think there's some products out on the market now that you can, okay? But also, you know, blood work ended up being fine. But see, there were other things, there were other ways in which I could have tested myself, I could have examined myself, I could have gotten some more data to truly look and do a full examination to, in effect, if I may, test all things according to my body. But I, like a lot of men, just blew it off. I'm fine. So I've become an evangelist to my three brothers now and said, all three of you guys need to get in and get looked at and don't delay. My dad had a stent at 64 and another one at 71. Both my grandfathers have had heart issues. And so I had a family history. But again, I didn't regard that history and actually take steps to get the data to have myself examined so that I could properly behave and respond to what I needed to do. And I almost paid the ultimate price for being stupid. You see, women tend to not have as big of egos when it comes to, you know, I'll just tough it out. I'm fine. You know, I don't want to go to the doctor. Okay, I don't like going to the doctor. Obviously, I don't go. But see, that's just foolishness. Okay, there's so many ways to get more information. And again, I'm not here to talk about natures of treatment and what's in and what's out and all that. But I could have done a better job taking the appropriate inventory physically to more properly and accurately assess the state of my health, the state of my body, and in particular, the state of my heart. Abortion is the number one killer in our nation. It takes about 1 million lives a year. After that, heart disease takes a little over 600,000 people a year. About 1 in 4 deaths in the country are for heart disease. And my heart was sick. I had atherosclerosis. I had a heart disease. I have heart disease. Cancer is the second place that claims just under 600,000 lives. And so both Carolyn and I, over the last 15 years, have had brushes with death. Her with cancer and me with heart disease. And so this has been a real wake-up call for me. And it's my hope that if you're sitting there going, you know what, I haven't been to the doctor in a while. I haven't gotten checked out. I would hope that you would, you know, take some action and get checked out. Because in the physical realm, we have opportunity to get information so that we can assess our health. But what we've gone over today and what we're going to continue to go over today is God gives us these physical examples. I mean, how many lessons do we have about the tree or about the earth or about, you know, the animals or different things in the scriptures that give us a type, give us a sense physically of what's really going on spiritually? Our spiritual heart condition is 100 times more important than our physical heart condition. But the analogy is clear that we need to take stock and we need to understand where we are so that we know where we need to go and what course corrections we need to make. Now, I've spent a good chunk of time here talking about the fact that we do this examination. And the fact is we do. We have a role in examining and testing and proving all things and all areas in our life. But thanks be to God that He doesn't have us do this alone. He is constantly involved in also testing us and examining us and proving us. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And see, here's the shift in the sermon where it gets more exciting to me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 4. He says, "But as we have been approved by God," that word is actually the same word, tested. "But as we have been tested by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." God is testing our hearts to see what's in there. And so the question is, what is He finding when He tests our hearts? Now, turn over with me to Hebrews 2. Hebrews, the second chapter. I find this really fascinating. So, see, we have this faithful and perfect high priest who did not leave us here without an example and without going through the very thing that we go through. It says here in Hebrews 2 and verse 18, "For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted," or it could be translated tested. See, Jesus was tested. He is able to aid those who are also being tempted or tested. And jump down to Hebrews 4 and verse 15. It says here that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, tested as we are, yet without sin. So see, in the same way that Jesus was tempted and tested, we too are tempted and tested so that God can find out what is inside. Now, doesn't God already know what's inside of us? So isn't this just kind of a figure of speech that He's testing us? Yes. He wants us to see. He knows all things, right? He's sovereign. He is all-knowing. He is testing us. And it's certainly fair to say that He's testing us to see what's in our heart. But the reality is that He already knows what's in our heart. But guess what? Until trials and tests and things come, we don't know what's in our heart. Now, let me just take a brief break here and just kind of reflect. If you all think about some areas in your life that are worthy to be examined, what would they be? Okay, how is my faith? That's a good area to examine. What else would be something that you could examine and test yourself to see how you measure up? Okay, Linda. Your motives for doing things. That's a good thing to test. Do you want to tell us how you're doing? Here's a mirror. How are you doing? Not good all the time. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Danny. How could I evangelize more effectively with my family and others? Yes. That is a good thing to analyze. Yes, Luke. Is the spouse happy? Okay, guys, fill in the sentence. Happy wife. Yay. It's a good one. Yes, Brainard. Okay, your character, your MO. Okay, yes. How am I doing with forgiveness of others? Uh-huh. Yeah. How do we really treat others? Are our motives pure? Wow. I say we stop now. I'm already convicted. Okay, no more. All right, in the back there, yeah. Loyalty to family and friends, our commitment to them. Okay. Yeah. The words that we speak, are they words of life or words of death? Yes, right here.
Am I really loving?
I hope you guys are listening. Yeah, so am I loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Okay, because we're going to take some time to meditate as well. So if any of these are striking you like, ooh, boy, I haven't examined that in a while, and I need to examine that. Yeah, Lee.
What are the TVs
and entertainment and movies that I watch? Are they wholesome or are they not? Ugh. Okay, yeah. Am I respecting my parents? All right, give those parents a gold star for the kid that asks the question. The fact that you asked that is a huge point of respect. Yes, Kathy.
Hearing
what the Lord says and doing it. Being obedient. Yes. Okay, in the front here. How courageously do we defend our convictions? Oof, boy. This is a good list. Yeah, okay. Anybody else? Okay, yes, honey.
Am I giving thanks in all things?
Yes. All right, over here.
Am I sure I'm doing what God would want me to do?
Yes, right there. How do I handle stressful situations? Yeah, this is wonderful. Yes. How am I treating my children and how am I raising them? Todd.
How often do I speak to God?
Pray. Prayer. Yeah. Okay. Do we have one more here? Another one? Oh, in the back. Do I make excuses? Over here. Yes. What do I deem acceptable in my own life? So I'm hearing that there's a lot of testing and examining that we can and should be doing, right? Yeah, this is a pretty long list here. I'm glad I didn't do the whiteboard because I'd be tired now. And that would be bad. I would not be following doctor's orders. Okay, Denise, let's do one more. You. Do I take responsibility for my own actions or do I blame other people? Wow. Okay. So it sounds like we have a lot of homework to do. I know I do. Yeah. You know, I think when we look at our lives as Christians, God is just eager and he's rooting for us to do the right thing, to be doing the things that are going to be pleasing in his sight. And this whole idea of examining and proving and testing the things in our life is a show of love in response to his love, right? Because why do we love? Because he first loved us. So what we really should say is not like if we're talking to God, like, I love you. What we really should say is, I love you too. Because he's already done everything to love us. And so our response to his love is to say, well, yeah, Dad, I love you too. I love you too. Turn with me to Psalm 26. I just want to hit a couple or a few verses. If you look at Psalm 26, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read maybe three or four of these verses and just kind of let them sink in and maybe we'll talk about them as a group. But you can just make the note here. Psalm 26, verse 2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me or test me. Try my mind and my heart. So why is David asking this? Because David loves the Lord, a man after God's own heart, and that David wanted God to examine him and to try his heart and mind because he wanted to know, is there anything in there that needs to change? And so it's like, God, examine me, test me, come into me and reveal that which I do not know. And so by analogy, after I had some symptoms, what did I do? I went to the doctor who is an expert at things of this nature. Particularly a cardiologist knows a lot about the heart. So I shouldn't talk to myself or talk to some Joe. No offense if your name is Joe. Especially if you're a doctor named Joe. I should go to the expert who knows about hearts, because he's going to look at my symptoms and say, dude, this is what is going on. Now, do you know what my cardiologist said after he did the angio and they got me fixed up? He said, you're one lucky dude. Okay. And I had to correct him and say, well, actually, I'm blessed. I don't like the word lucky. Okay. Or fortunate, because it has a randomness to it. He said I was a lucky dude because he knows the situation when there's a certain set of symptoms, which were my own symptomatic declaration. It was the EKG, and then it was ultimately the angio, and they knew exactly what was wrong, and they knew exactly how to fix it. So in our sense, if we have a heart or mind issue, who knows best? God, because why? Because he made our heart. He made our mind. He made me. He made you. And this is the instruction book of how to live. And because we don't read it as diligently and meditate and all that as we should, we still go to God and say, God, you know me better than anybody else. You made me. You've numbered my days. You know everything about me. Search me. Examine me. Prove me. Test me. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Just flip over dozens of chapters later. Go to Psalm 139. Look what it says here at the end. This is so beautiful. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Right? Thing we heard earlier. Try me, and notice here, try me and know my anxieties. Does anybody have anxieties in here? We've got some head nods, some hands. Okay. All right. Anxiety. What did Paul tell us in Philippians 4? Be anxious for some things. No, he didn't say that. He said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But he's basically saying, show me my anxieties. And notice verse 24, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful is that? Go back to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. And I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. Psalm 7, verses 9 and 10. Say, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Okay, do we all believe that prayer? Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Lord, your kingdom come. Hasten your coming. This wickedness that we see and we feel and we sometimes are part of ourselves, cause it to come to an end. Continuing in verse 9. But establish the just. And then he goes on to say, for the righteous God tests the hearts and the minds. So see, if we're righteous, remember, he's declared us righteous by the blood of Jesus. We don't earn our righteousness. We don't manufacture our righteousness. We get righteousness imputed to us apart from works by Jesus Christ. So the righteous that God has made righteous, he said, test the hearts and the minds. He wants us to have our hearts and minds tested. And verse 10 says, my defense is of God who saves the upright in heart. He is the God who saves. Now turn over with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 is a very famous verse. But verse 10 is the cooler of the two. Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And notice verse 10. I, the Lord, I, Yahweh, search the heart and I test the mind. Now, we're seeing this repeated, aren't we? That he searches the minds and the hearts. He tests and proves and examines our heart and our mind. And thanks be to God that he does, because he doesn't desire that any wicked way would be within us. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind and I give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. What does that verse sound like? Another verse that's real similar to that. As a man sows, so also shall he reap. And see, again, jumping back briefly, I don't know what caused all of the plaque buildup in my artery. I don't know. I don't have high blood pressure. I exercise. I eat pretty well. I do have the family history. But should I have to suffer for that? Well, too bad. That's what you get. Heredity's heredity. But I don't know what caused it. But the fact is that there are solutions that have been implemented and are being implemented, which are going to help going forward. And in the same way, and much more powerfully, if we have wicked ways in us, if we have stuff that needs fixing, if we've been harboring sin, if we are allowing sin to be at the door, if we're allowing provision for the flesh, then what is the fruit of that going to be? Because here he says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. You're not hiding anything from God. I'm not hiding anything from God. But he gives to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So what do we do when we see a wicked way? What do we do when we see sin? What do we do when we see something that's black and ugly and infecting us? What do we do? What should we do? We should pray. We should cry out to God and say, God, save me. Save me from myself. I'm wicked. I'm evil. I have these thoughts of the flesh. I have these works of the flesh. And God, you must save me. Examine me, test me, prove me, and most importantly, show me. Show me the areas that I need to change in my life. Show me, God, because I don't want anything to come between you and me. I want that intimacy with you. I want that intimacy with you. So, Lord, show me what I need to know. And then I'm going to end here in Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. This is just another beautiful example of the love that God showed Israel and also the love that he shows us. Because, again, when we come to Christ, the veil is removed. And so we look at the stories in the Old Testament, we look at them now through the eyes of Jesus with the understanding that we have righteousness in him. It says here in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, that every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And here's verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble you and to test you to know what was in your heart as to whether or not you would keep my commands. So it says he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna, which you did not know or your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man should live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And he says, your garments didn't wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years, which is just an incredible miracle. Not only did they see a miracle every 6 days of every week with the manna, and they saw the pillar of fire and the cloud, but that it says here their footsies did not swell. And their garments didn't wear out for 40 years. How is that possible? Verse 5, you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. See, God isn't about exposing our weakness and our junk just to make us feel bad. He's doing it because of his great love for us and that he wants the intimacy and he knows that sin separates us from his love. And I actually do want to just finish up here. 1 Corinthians 10, and this is in verse 13, another verse that many of us know. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Is he not? Amen. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested
beyond what you are able. But boy, the temptation and the testing sure does come. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Another verse that tells us how much God truly, truly does love us. So I'm going to give you the homework rather than taking additional time now, but just to give you the homework of looking and examining and testing your life. And you all mentioned a number of different wonderful things that we ought to be able to look at our life and say, you know, how are we doing? And do we need to confess? Do we need to repent? If your list is short, ask your spouse to lengthen it. Okay. Or your friend or friends. But that this is a great work of the body of Christ, that we ourselves would examine ourselves so that we can be about our Father's business and that we can do the things which are pleasing in His sight, to be able to help one another, pray for one another, and to love one another as He has loved us. So let's praise Him.